So years ago, I was in a group called the Torah Club, which is always a fun group to be a part of. And there was a guy that was really instrumental in my life named Ray Vanderlaan, who taught me a lot about just Jewish context and took us through some things in Leviticus that were really helpful. And then myself and a few of my friends looked at Leviticus just kind of in a bigger picture and really worked through some things in Leviticus. So what I'm going to share with you this morning is just me sharing some things that were given to me that I want to share with you that I found to be very helpful in my understanding of the scripture. And some of this stuff is just so good, you don't want to keep it. You want to just share it as much as you possibly can because it's really good news. So I want you to turn over to Leviticus chapter 16. And Leviticus is in the Old Testament. It's the third book in the Bible. So you have Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus. And it's quite a good read. So in your spare time, if you'd like to look at it, I would invite you to go for it. So Leviticus chapter 16 talks about this particular day, and it's very descriptive. It's called the Day of Atonement. And the Jews refer to it as Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur happens once a year. This next year, it's going to happen in October. Here we are in February, or January. Is it January? Yeah, January, talking about it. But I just wanted to share some of these things with you because I think it applies it just for all time. So Yom Kippur, it really centers itself around several animals. And then you have this one character in Leviticus 16 referred to as the high priest. And the high priest plays a very central role in talking about this particular day, Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, dealing with the sins of the entire community that were committed for the entire year. So a lot of sins on this one particular wet day that are dealt with. So let's start in Leviticus 16, and we're going to begin in verse 3 and then read down to verse 5. And here's something that I want you to hear. So we're going to be in Leviticus, then we're going to jump over to John 19, which is way, way over in the New Testament. And then we're going to jump to Hebrews chapter 10. So you guys got that? You with me, okay? Leviticus 16, we've got John 19, and then Hebrews 10. We'll be looking at the passage that we read this morning corporately with Peter to kind of give you an idea where we're going. So Leviticus 16, verses 3 through 5. This is what it says. But in this way, Aaron shall come into the holy place with a bull from the herd for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat. It's like, where do you get one of those coats? And shall have the linen undergarment on his body, of course. And he shall tie the linen sash around his waist and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water, just so we're clear, and then put them on. He shall take from the congregation of people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. There we go. So very descriptive. Now, when you're reading a book like Leviticus, and when you're reading in particular the Old Testament, it's really helpful to kind of get a grasp on how a Hebrew would read the text. There's the Hebraic perspective when we approach the scriptures, and then we've got our Western perspective. And what has really helped me is learning how to read kind of through more of a Hebraic way of thinking. So to a Hebrew, they think in terms of pictures and images and ideas. They tap into their senses. So a lot of things that are described in the scripture are more descriptive in terms of images and pictures, metaphors, ideas, lots of pictures, things and ways in which we can grab onto these ideas. So instead of God talking about, here's the 3 points of forgiveness, and here's how you can practice forgiveness. What God does in the Old Testament is he gives us a lot of pictures and images, and here's what forgiveness looks like. So the Eastern way of thinking is very much about symbolism, symbolic ideas, pictures. And in the West, what we do is we say, define it, right? We love things to be defined. Give me 3 points that I can take home, apply them to my life, and then I can fix everything in about 1 week. Like, at least I'll give it 7 days because that's reasonable. But we want like, lay it down for me. 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. The Hebraic approach is different in how they see things and how they see this bigger picture going on. So in Leviticus, instead of getting a 3-point sermon, what you get is images and ideas and pictures about this ultimate price of paying for the sins of people. And so what Leviticus is pointing to is that one day at a point in history, there's going to come someone that's going to pay the ultimate price for the sins of all people, past, present, and future. That's what they're longing for, and that's what they're hoping for, so that they don't have to keep doing these practices over and over again each year, once a year, to pay for all the sins of the people. So get this in your head. We've got like 250,000 people, 200,000 plus people, all gathered at the temple. They're at this sacred place, and they are there for this one day, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And these people have been spending like the last 10 days weeping, mourning over their sin. They're searching their hearts. They want to make sure that they're aware of everything that they've done wrong in the last year and make sure it's all out on the table. So it's like a real time of cleansing. It's a time of getting everything out into the open. So a lot of, Lord, search my heart, know me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and if there is, would you reveal it to me? I don't want to miss anything. So they're like in this deep soul-searching mode of what can I do and what can I confess and acknowledge. So they're getting ready to come before God as a people. And they understand that one man is going to represent all of them. So there's like the high priest is going to come before God and represent all the people. So this one dude, if you think about the pressure that's on this one guy, it's like he had better get it right. This one guy's got to get it right. So Leviticus 16 is really clear, even down to the underwear that he's supposed to wear. So like that's like you got to make sure that your chonies are holy. You got those holy chonies, your turban, your special linen coat. Everything's got to be dialed in. Even your sash has just got to be rocking and right in line with what God requests of you. So this all goes down at the temple. And the temple is the place where heaven and earth come together. So the temple is a really sacred place. It all gets blurred in the temple. So heaven and earth meet together, and there's like this holy thing that happens in the temple. So this is the place where it all goes down. This is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The high priest is there. And then in verse 6 of chapter 16, it says that Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself and make atonement for himself and for his house. So Aaron, the high priest, he's got to make sure that he's legit before he goes in. So he's got to offer the right sacrifices, not just for himself, but for his entire household. So he's responsible for everyone in the family, and then he can go in and offer this atonement on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. So lots of pressure on this one dude. He's like, you got to make sure you are getting this stuff right, that you are clean before the Lord. So, Leviticus chapter 16, verses 7 through 10. Check this out. Then he shall take two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. So again, what do we got? Hundreds of thousands of people all gathered for one reason. This is the Day of Atonement. The forgiveness of all of our sins as a community. They are being reminded of the grace and mercy of God. Reminded over and over again as they're practicing in this 10-day period of confessing their sins, getting everything out into the open. And the interaction behind this one live goat and the high priest is very telling. It's pointing us to something extremely significant and important in terms of the overarching theme of all of Scripture and all of human history. So we get to Leviticus chapter 16, verses 20 through 22, and notice what it says. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess it, all of the sins of the people of Israel and all of their transgressions, all of it on this one goat. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all of the sins on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. Now, as my good friend said, he says, that's one loaded goat, right? Like, well said, dude. So all of the sins of your neighbors, coworkers, your family, everybody, it's all on this one goat. And you're like, okay, who is responsible for leading this goat away from the people? It's like, who's the one that's going to lead this goat away? This is one loaded goat, which is like basically a bad movie plot waiting to happen, right? Like, dude, where's my goat? Or, I ain't afraid of no goat. So this, all these things go through your mind. Now, there's some tradition surrounding the goat that some traditions state that the goat would then have a red cord tied around its head. And this red cord represented the sins of all the people. This red cord, so it's very much an image, an idea. So we're talking about making sure that we're getting a picture of this payment of sin, the Day of Atonement. And we see this goat, all of our sins are on this goat. It's like, great. And this red cord around the head of this goat, which represents blood and judgment. Basically, all of our sins is represented by this one cord. Now, here's something that's very, very difficult for us Westerners to get. Hebrews tend to think in terms of communal sins. They're not so much focused on individual stuff. It's more about the bigger family. In the West, we oftentimes, many times, we focus on me and my relationship with God. Me and my personal relationship with God. Or me and my sin. We focus so much on our own sin, and it gets very heavy. But Hebrews tend to think communally. They tend to think, where are we missing it as a people? Where are we? Where are the things that we're held accountable for as a people? Now, Hebrews definitely think in terms of individual problems. It's not like they're just, nope, this is our problem. They own up to their own mess as well. But they tend to think in terms of community. So picture this again. All the sins, all the sins that have been in the last year on one goat. And this is the moment, this one moment, is when all of the sins that have been committed over the last year are going to be taken away. So this is a really significant, hugely important moment. This goat is loaded. This is a huge load that's bared on this one day. So the person that is responsible for the task of leading this goat is usually a Gentile or someone that is not affiliated with the Israelites. He would then take the goat and lead it out into the wilderness. The question that I would ask is, where do you find this guy? And like, do you put an ad in Craigslist looking, wanted, one guy to lead a loaded goat out into the wilderness that represents the sins of our entire nation? It's like, where do I sign up for that responsibility? Now, this goat was referred to, there's a term that was referred to as the scapegoat, right? We have terminology that we use as a scapegoat. This is our scapegoat. So the goat was referred to as the scapegoat. In other words, this goat was a representative of all that's being taken away, that which being sent away. So we're given a picture of a scapegoat with a red cord tied around its head, representing the sins of all our friends, neighbors, people that we're doing life with, and it's being sent away, away into the wilderness. Now, turn over to John 19, and John 19 has a lot to say about this. Now, in John 19, what we see is we see Jesus standing before Pilate. Pilate is in charge over what's happening to Jesus in this moment. And what's interesting is that Pilate instructs his soldiers to take a crown of thorns. They construct a crown of thorns, and they put it on the head of Jesus. Now think about this. If a crown of thorns are pressed into your skin, what color is going to appear around your head? You're going to have like a red cord tied around your head. So John 19, verse 15 says this. They cried, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Think about that. Away with him! Away with him! Send him away. Now, the Day of Atonement, what do the people cry out? Away. Send the scapegoat away. All the sins that we've committed, send it away. And you can see this connection between Leviticus 16 and what Jesus is doing here in John chapter 19. Taking on all the sins upon himself and being sent away. Then verse 16 of John 19. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. So Jesus is taken away from the holy place, from Jerusalem, and led away from the temple out to the place of the skull, outside. You have Jesus with a line around his head. And people are shouting, "Take him away, take him away, take him away." And Gentiles are leading him outside of the holy city. Now, the Day of Atonement happened in September of 2015. It's going to happen in October of 2016. And then guess what? It's going to happen again and again and again and again. And what the people are longing for on the Day of Atonement is like a once-for-all person, a symbol, someone to come and take all the sins of humanity and deal with it one time so that we can be over with all these sacrifices and going through these practices. So the prophets of the Old Testament were looking for this. They're waiting for one, a scapegoat, an ultimate scapegoat, to come and take all the sins of humanity upon himself and deal with it one time. So Hebrews chapter 10. Turn over there for a moment. Verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4. It says this, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any conscience of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." Then we jump down to verse 11. "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But when Christ offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." So we have a high priest who sits down. The high priest sits down. So what in the world do we take away from a message like this? Maybe when we are reminded of our failures, our mistakes, when that guilt and that shame rise up in us, and all the stuff that we mull over from the past, things that we're currently participating in, the things that we fear about the future, maybe we can be reminded of, "My friends, the goat has been taken away and he's not coming back. He's not coming back. It's been taken away." When somebody reminds you, and maybe when you remind you of all the ways that you've missed the mark, the mistakes, the failures, all those things that rise up inside of you. Maybe we could begin saying as a community, or you can say even to your own heart, excuse me, I don't see a goat around here, do you? I don't see one around here. And maybe the next time those things come up, we go back and remind ourselves over and over again of this amazing truth that Jesus has sat down, it has been finished, it is done, it is over, I'm not going to revisit this over and over again. I want to move forward towards more wholeness and more healing and what God has for me. That's good news. The goat has left and he ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. And those of us who have placed our lives, our trust, our faith in the resurrected Jesus can be reminded of that over and over again. Because when I said yes to Jesus, the moment I said yes to the resurrected Jesus, that meant that I am no longer what I once was. I am now becoming who I really am called to be. I'm becoming the person that God has created me to be. The Bible talks about new creation. You are a new creation. You are born from above. And when you're born from above and you're this new creation, that's a way of saying, I'm not who I used to be. I am now this. The old is gone. The new has come. And that's who I am. And I'm going to lean into that. And maybe the message of Leviticus that we can walk away with and go, yeah, Leviticus 16 has a lot to say about who we're becoming in Christ. Doesn't mean we won't sin again. Doesn't mean we won't miss the mark. Doesn't mean that we won't trespass against our brothers and our sisters. But it's more than, I said yes to Jesus and now I get to go to heaven. In the meantime, I'm just going to wait around. It means you get new life now. You get to have it now. And that is really, really good news. And one of the reasons why I think, and I've been part of the church for a long time, and one of the reasons why I think we get so fixated on the rules, because when you forget who you are in Jesus, all you are left with is a bunch of rules. And then what it becomes is sin management 101. And it's like, where do I sign up for that? That sounds like a fun course. And it's like, no, we're beyond that now. We've moved past that. The goat's been taken away, and he's not coming back. It's like Stuart Briscoe has this great quote that I come back to. He says, you know what? If we actually taught people who they are in Christ, we wouldn't have to spend so much time telling them what to do, because they would already know who they are. And it's just a matter of helping them become who they are. God knows about your addictions. He knows about your sins. He knows about your failures. He knows about that dark secret habit. That's why he's given us this amazing picture of the goat being taken away. Not three easy steps, and here's how you find freedom. The goat has been sent away. It's not coming back. Jesus is the ultimate scapegoat. He's the ultimate scapegoat. He took our sins upon himself so that we could be free. We can experience freedom. And maybe the Day of Atonement is pointing us to that big, grand moment when Jesus said, it is finished, it is done, it is over, and then he sits down. Because if we forget that the goat has left and is not going to return, what happens is that we lose our joy. Not our happiness, but we lose our joy, and we get weighed down by guilt and shame and condemnation. All the stuff where we're missing it, we get weighed down by this, and we can't move through it, and we can't share the good news. Like, if we're not a community of people that are marked by joy because of what Jesus has done and continues to do, if we're not marked that way, and we're always talking about our sin and sin management, it's like, why would we want anybody to join this? It's like, join this and we're just going to make you feel bad. No. Join this and find life and get connected to your life that God created you to experience. Not sin management. And we're not going to bash your sin because that stuff doesn't work. to sit there and condemn. The Bible is very clear that says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's none. It is gone. We found new life. It's like, you want to come along and join us? We found new life, and we want you to experience new life. The Bible tells us, when Jesus sat down, he's done. His work is done. No more. It's like, it's over. It is completely done. He's been placed in a position of authority over the world, over the universe, over our lives, over this church, and over our community. And I think, again, we need to be a community this next year that reminds one another when those things come up. It's like, wait a minute, do you see a goat around here? I don't see a goat around here. I ain't afraid of no goat. It's not here. And maybe this morning, if you came in and you're carrying some stuff around, and some of you know what I'm talking about, you're carrying the same thing around, maybe this is a time where you can say, you know what? I'm really tired of carrying this stuff around. It's not doing me any good. And it's time to do something about that. So my encouragement to you, if stuff keeps coming up inside of you, and you know, it's like, I'm not going to carry this around. The question that I want us to deal with is like, what is going on inside of me? What's happening? Why does this keep coming up? And then begin exploring that stuff and like digging at the surface of that. Why does this keep continuing to come up? And then do you have the courage to face it or to have someone that can help you face it and learn why does this stuff keep coming up? And then once you discover what that is, here's the question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Remind yourself. Remind this community of the good news. We're a community that's fueled by good news. That you are no longer what you once were, but what you are becoming, that is interesting and that is fascinating. What you are becoming in Christ fascinates me. And he's got good things ahead of us as a people, and I'm looking forward to seeing where he's going to take us in this next year. Good news. Take it. Receive it.